Chapter 3. The Man on the Bridge. It was a beautiful day in the last week of May, and I bought sandwiches and the morning newspapers from a vendor on the train as we travelled north. When I had finished reading the news, I took out Scudder's little black notebook and studied it. It was full of numbers, with a few words here and there. While he was staying with me, I had discovered that Scudder was the kind of man who did everything for a reason, so I thought that the numbers must be some kind of code. I had had some experience with codes in the army, so I thought that I could probably solve this one. It looked as if the numbers corresponded to letters of the alphabet, and I thought that this might be the key to the code. I worked on the code for a few hours, but I couldn't solve it, and finally gave up and fell asleep. When I woke up, we were at Dumfries, the principal town of the Galloway area. I changed to the slow-moving Galloway train and travelled with farmers returning from the weekly farmers' market. Their conversation was full of the prices of sheep and wool. The train moved through low hills and valleys to a wide moorland with big lakes and high blue hills. By 5 o'clock, I was alone on the train, and I got out at a little station whose name I don't even remember. It was such a beautiful spring evening that I felt quite happy as I left the little station and walked down a dusty white road. I made myself a walking stick from a branch of a tree, left the road, and started to walk along a footpath that went up into the hills. After some time, I arrived at a shepherd's house. I was very hungry, and the brown-faced woman standing at the door offered me a supper of eggs, bread, and thick, sweet milk. The shepherd's house was small, but the shepherd and his wife offered me a bed under the roof for the night, and I was happy to accept it. In the morning, I had a good breakfast and left to continue my journey. I decided to take a train at a different station from the one I had got off at the day before. I wanted to confuse anyone who might be trying to follow me. I decided to turn and travel south because the police would probably think that I was trying to get far away from London. When I got to a small rural station, I bought a ticket for Dumfries. The only other passenger on the train was a sleeping shepherd and his dog. There was a morning newspaper on the seat, so I checked to see if Scudder's murder had been reported. There was an article about Scudder's murder, which the newspapers called the Portland Place Murder, from the name of the street where I lived. My servant, Paddock, had found Scudder's body and had called the police, who had arrested the milkman, but later released him. I was sure that they suspected me, although the article didn't say so. As we passed the station where I had got off the train the previous day, I saw three men asking the station master questions and writing in a notebook. I had planned to get off the train after several stations. However, the train stopped at the beginning of a tunnel, and this looked like an even better place to get off without anyone seeing me. I opened the carriage door and jumped down onto the side of the railway line. Unfortunately, the shepherd's dog seemed to think that I was trying to steal its master's things and began to bark. This woke the shepherd, who thought that I had tried to commit suicide, and he stood shouting at the carriage door. I ran a short distance and then hid behind some bushes, hoping that I wouldn't be seen. I looked back and saw the guard and several curious passengers standing at the open carriage door, looking in my direction. Fortunately, the shepherd and his dog distracted their attention. The barking dog was tied to the shepherd's belt, and suddenly both of them fell off the train. There was soon a large group of people standing around them. I knew that the shepherd's dog had bitten someone because I heard a shout of pain. Soon, everyone had forgotten about me. I crawled a little further through the bushes, and when I looked back, the train had started moving again and was disappearing into the tunnel. I moved away from the railway line and for some reason began to feel scared. It was not the police that worried me, but the anarchists. I was sure that they would kill me if they caught me. I was in a wide semicircle of moorland, surrounded by high hills, with a river in the distance. Keeping as low as possible, I ran until I reached the top of one of the hills. I threw myself down on the ground and looked over to the other side. The whole scene looked very tranquil, but when I looked up, I saw something that made my heart beat faster. In the sky, to the south, I saw a small plane. It was flying backwards and forwards, very low, obviously looking for something. I can't tell you how, but I knew that it was looking for me. I was also sure that it was not the police. I lay hidden in the bushes and watched it for 2 hours, until it flew to the south again. I began to think that this piece of countryside with its open moorland was not such a good place to hide. The area below my hill was a valley filled with trees and some stone houses, and I decided that that would be a safer place. About 6 o'clock in the evening, I walked down the hill towards the valley. I soon came to a stone bridge with a large house on the other side. A young man was standing on the bridge looking down into the water. "Good evening," he said as I got to the middle of the bridge. "Is that an inn?" I asked him, pointing to the house. "Yes, and I'm the innkeeper," he answered. "My father died a year ago, and I look after the inn with my grandmother, even though it's not the profession I would choose." "And what profession is that?" I asked him. "I really want to be a writer," the young man replied. "Well, it looks like the perfect place to write," I said. "Oh, it's too quiet. Nothing ever happens here," complained the young man. "I want to see life and travel the world." "You don't have to leave home to find adventure," I told him. "I'll tell you a true adventure story, and in a few months you can make it into a novel."